Hello, we are Emma White
and David J. Lilly.
We're both jewellery designer makers who spend every day surrounded by shiny things.
We're both passionate about jewellery
and love learning all we can about jewellery making and sharing what we've learned with you right here.
Perhaps you're a jewellery lover or a creative type, or you spend your days at the bench like we do.
Whichever it is, we hope you'll enjoy our sparkly chit-chat, our silly stories, and our thoughts on living a creative and slightly dusty life.
With a few laughs along the way.
You can find our podcasts on all your favourite apps, including, of course, the biggies, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
So if you want to know who we are and share our passion for all that glitters, then stay with us for the next 30-ish minutes.
This is
Emma
and David with Little Gems on Jewellery
and Life.
Hi, David. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
So we are back again talking about all the glitters, aren't we?
We are. Episode four. It was a good one.
Yes, it was. It was, I think, my favourite episode. I think I connected most, especially with the... I think this is my best connection to the bestseller brief, where I think episode two was my best connection to the bespoke brief.
Right. I think you shone in this one because of your affinity with working with lots of different materials really stood you in good stead here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I think
your flexibility.
Yeah, I think the two of us probably used the most diverse collection of materials of everybody in this one. Just thinking quickly to what everybody used, especially for the bestseller.
Oh, some cracking pieces.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was some really lovely pieces this one. I thought, you know, it was quite outstanding, some of the work that was made.
Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, I really liked this episode. It was funny because you maybe didn't feel this way, but I felt quite intimidated by this.
Really?
But actually, yeah, because although I don't know if this came over, but I'm actually quite traditional. You know, I just work in metal, really.
Yeah.
I don't really venture into other things. Having said that, I did work in animation for a short time and did model making. So, you know, I'm au fait with a bit of plasticine. but yeah, the whole kind of alternative materials, contemporary materials and jewellery making felt quite challenging, but I enjoyed it.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as a designer, you have to be able to actually apply your creativity in lots of ways. Like if you're a creative person, you should be able to take that creativity and apply it in other disciplines.
Yes.
Whether you understand the materials or not is the question.
True.
But the creative process should have some kind of like ability to cross disciplines, I think.
Yeah. So would you create a new collection of jewellery for yourself in your business out of alternative materials?
Not currently. But never say never.
Yeah.
Never say never. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I've enjoyed using it. I mean, I used Aurora Opal, which is a synthetic opal. It comes in a variety of different colours and styles. It's made by a chap in Germany. And I created a whole collection, which is predominantly that. So replacing the vast majority of metal within an item, on the rings anyway, with the opal. And then in the pendants, I reversed it. So again, it was mostly metal with the gems or the Aurora Opal set as a gem instead. So it was really nice to actually play with this material in different ways throughout the collection.
Nice.
So yeah, that was fun. But just to remind the listeners, episode four,
contemporary materials.
Contemporary materials, yeah, was our statement brooch, wasn't it?
Yeah, statement brooch indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it had to be inspired by Birmingham or something to do with Birmingham.
Yep.
So again, not something I knew a lot about. Aside from the kind of jewellery connection, I found a lovely story that I kind of honed in on, and I made a brooch that was inspired by a Victoria Cross medal.
Yes, which is fantastic. What a wonderful story.
I know, wasn't it just? To recap, George Ravenhill was a soldier born in 1872, and he was from Birmingham, and he was a very successful soldier. and won many awards and many medals. And amongst them, he won a Victoria Cross, which is always awarded for bravery. So he won that because he'd been involved in a battle where he had sort of run out from his shelter position in order to save guns, to stop them from falling into enemy hands. Everybody else was either killed or wounded or driven from the fire, and he helped to save these guns. And he was wounded as well. He was shot through the forearm.
Right.
But he survived, obviously, and he went on to be awarded the Victoria Cross. But then he left the army and he fell into poverty. He was convicted of theft. He stole some scrap metal and he refused to pay the fine on the grounds that he'd never received his war pension, which, had he received his war pension, he would never have been in that position in the first place. So he took this like really strong moral stand, and he was suitably punished, because people that are awarded the Victoria Cross are not allowed to have a criminal record. He was stripped of his medals and they were sold at auction to pay his debt. And he obviously kicked up a massive stink about it. And it was quite a big deal at the time. So there was quite a lot of uproar about the situation here. And he and his wife, he had lots of children. They were in the workhouse, and some of his children were actually fostered, taken away from them and fostered out to America and Canada.
Wow.
And ultimately died very young, at the age of 49, of a heart attack. And when he died, the king stepped in. It was King George at the time. And he stepped in and made sure he had a hero's funeral, and also raised money, or was key to that happening, for his wife and his children, to make sure that he, you know, that they were okay kind of moving forward.
What a wonderful thing.
And he's buried in the cemetery in the centre of Birmingham, Witton Cemetery.
Right.
So my idea wasn't trying to make a Victoria Cross. It was like an homage to his loss and his sacrifice. And also, you know, I imagined that he'd had this medal taken away from him, and this was like something, you know, somebody had given him as like a kind of pauper's Victoria Cross.
It was,
yeah. And
it
was so that was the story behind mine. What was the story behind your statement, Broach, David?
Well, I was rather taken with this whole brief, because one of the things that I look at a lot when I'm designing is brutalism and the mid-century modern. And of course, a lot of Birmingham was created, you know, in that period. And the famous library, which was torn down, was very brutalist in its concept. And there are still, you know, brutalist buildings in there. One of the railway station boxes is famously a brutalist design. And I had considered using that, but I felt it was just a bit too obvious. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to make something that was it and not it, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And then I came across the BT Tower. And that amused me, because it's roughly the same age as me, in that it was built between... yeah, I know. I was born in 61 and it was born in 63.
Two great monuments.
Absolutely. Yes. Thankfully, I'm still standing. Oh, mind you, it's still standing as well. And I'd always been fascinated by the BT Tower in London, because as a small child at the age of 6, we went up it when it first opened. So I thought that would be a really interesting thing to do. And because it has interesting shapes, all those dishes up the top.
Yeah, it's cool.
And a circle is not that interesting by itself, but when you start dishing it and cutting it up so you see it from a different angle, you can do something interesting. And also...
And how they're all clustered as well, I think, is quite visually interesting.
It is, it is. And also, for me, you know, I think this is something that we talked about on the show but didn't come into the edit, was that, you know, communication can be, let's say, in inverted commas, colourful at times. And I thought, well, you know, let's integrate lots of colour into this, because it's a communications device.
Yeah.
And let's use materials that were being used, again, in the early mid-60s. And so acrylic, obviously, originally Perspex, which was the big brand name, you know, really came to the fore then. So it was one to actually, you know, use predominantly in the piece. And then obviously I integrated silver as well. and I integrated wood, and I decided to use Purple Heart wood, which is a wood from East Africa, I think, because again, very colourful, and put it together with cold fixing, so bolts throughout to hold the pieces together, in that they would have used bolts in the concrete construction of the actual BT Tower. Yeah, so that was the concept behind mine. And then I never made it when I was practicing at all. I always kind of...
Really?
Yeah, never did. At one point, I was going to do it on glass as well, rather than Perspex. And then I decided to move on to Perspex or acrylic. And just very much at the last minute, I thought, this is too flat. This is too flat. I need to do something about it, which is why then I started playing around with curving the actual base part of the brooch.
Yeah.
Because we had the curved pieces on top already from the little domed pieces of Perspex and the domed silver.
Really cool.
But I decided the whole thing just needed to have, you know, more curvature to it as well.
Yeah, lovely.
Thank you.
I really liked your piece. I thought it was amazing. And you got really good comments on it, I remember, on the day.
Yes.
They really, really liked it, didn't they?
Everybody
we both did, didn't we? It was a strong challenge for us both, really.
Mm.
Were we first and second? I can't remember.
We were. You were first and I was second.
We were.
Yeah.
I was first and second. Yeah, it was great. So the alternative materials that I used were, I used wood. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I had like a back plate of wood. I used paper because I had a picture of George in the centre of my cross. He was featured on a cigarette card.
Mm.
You know how I used to get the cigarette card
with
the soldiers on. So he had his own cigarette card. So I bought one of them from eBay, but I did actually photocopy it because I couldn't bear to cut it up. No. I still have it at home. And then I set it like a stone, but I put a front of acrylic on it so that it would be protected. So it was that as well.
Mm.
And then I used a piece of wool to create the bond between the main body of the brooch and the brooch pin bit at the top as well. So kind of there was four, really, I guess. We had to use two, the predominant ones being the card, the felt, and the wood, I guess. So the wood was fun because I scorched it, and there was a danger burn
small bonfire.
And I did scorching it and blowing it out. Then I sealed it all as well with salve, which I pinched from a woodworker friend of mine, a hand carving company, which enabled me to kind of bring out the grain a bit, and also sort of sealed in the burnt sort of sootiness of the wood so that it didn't, wouldn't transfer onto clothes. It's actually quite practical piece.
Yeah,
I was really pleased with it. I mean, the actual top bit, the brooch pin bit, wasn't featured at all in the episode. The technical side of making a brooch pin wasn't covered at all, but we all made lovely brooch pins. Maybe that's why. Maybe we all did too good a job of it, and nobody messed up enough to make it interesting.
but
we all had a nice click.
Yeah, indeed.
The click was there for anyone that's listening from the jewellery world. The click was there. We all did some very lovely pins.
We did. Maybe we should talk about that at the end of this episode as to this week's technique about brooch
pins. Technique of the week. I don't know. Is it interesting? I'm not sure.
For people who haven't made brooch pins before, it might be.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. We used dental wire, actually. That was.
You're going to give it away now, are you?
Okay. That. I am. Sorry, mate. Oh, God. I just am terrible.
Can't trust you, can you?
No. Can't be helped. I know. Gob on a stick. Anyway. So, so it was a great challenge, you know. So how did you feel when you got those lovely comments and then ended up second on the podium?
I was absolutely over the moon with them, especially when Dinny called it a disco Dalek. I thought that was so appropriate. It was absolutely brilliant. I was very pleased with it.
Yeah.
Because, again, I'd never made it completely. I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. It came out better than I thought as well. And again, because the BBC have ramped up the colour on this program.
It looked amazing.
It looked absolutely amazing. You know, they weren't all primary colours, but that blue against the yellow with the orange, you know, was just brilliant.
Yeah,
and even the
really
purple
good.
Heart, you know, looked wonderfully purple. So I can't complain about anything with that part of episode four, because it was, I think that was my, possibly my finest hour when it comes to the bestsellers.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Definitely a highlight for me as well, because that was the first time I'd kind of won anything. I felt like I was getting a bit close but no cigar, really, with a lot of those things, but with a lot of the challenges.
Yes,
really.
Absolutely. I think this was very much an episode that was about contemporary jewellery rather than fine jewellery. And I always consider myself a contemporary jeweller rather than a fine jeweler. That, you know, that is what I do. So, you know, that was, in that respect, you know, it played to my strength.
Shall we move on to the bespoke challenge?
We should. And the bespoke challenge, of course, was for Elliot. And it was an ear cuff, which again, I'd never made an ear cuff before.
Me neither.
I'd barely made any earrings at this point, let alone ear cuffs. So this was, again, the ear isn't something that I connect with jewellery because I don't wear earrings or ear cuffs. And
maybe you should.
No, it's not me. I don't think so. Maybe if I was Elliot's age, then I might go and wear an ear cuff stroke earring. But I just don't think it's me.
Fair enough. So do you want to introduce Elliot?
No, you can introduce Elliot.
Elliot was a exuberant, gorgeous, lovely young person with a massive smile. And he is also deaf and wanted to commission an ear cuff that kind of celebrated the fact that he was deaf.
Mm.
The brief mentioned lots of different things. There was so much in there.
Yeah.
So the things that I kind of honed in on were kind of Elliot's just like lust for life and joy and love of the color red, because his earpieces and his hearing aid are red. Mm-hmm. And there was talk of that. And also my ears pricked up a little bit when he spoke of his favorite trousers, which were covered in smiley faces.
Oh, yes.
I love a smiley face.
Yeah.
So I kind of, that's kind of where I went, really. I wanted something as well, importantly, they could dance in. So I did lots of jumping around my studio with my cuff in, checking it was dance proof. And I was really delighted when Sean did a little dance with my ear cuff on and checked it out. And I was like, yep, it's dance proof.
Yep.
So that was a good moment too. So what direction did you decide to go with it, David?
Well, the inspiration for mine were the things that about him that he liked were punk, spiky, colourful, bold, and his love of singing and music. Because obviously I love to sing as well. I love things that are very colourful and bold. So I thought there's a connection there between him and me. So let's work with that. And then I thought, I want to make the ear cuff secure.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make it so that it is a cuff, but it isn't necessarily just all the way around the ear. I wanted to use the whole ear space. So you could still see his red hearing aid in his ear, but that wasn't just framing the ear necessarily. So that's why I went with the idea with the treble clef that clipped over the top of the ear. So it went over the top of the ear and then came back in under the ear. So and that I lined with red rubber.
Uh-huh.
So it was more comfortable on the ear and also gave it a little more grip.
Yep.
Bottom bit of the treble clef was extended so that it actually could go through his ear piercing, go through the ear. And then one of the little spikes that were the bits that came around the piece actually was that part of the treble clef. And so that then had a little, you know, what we call butterflies on the back. And again, that was filled with rubber so that he could push it on and it stayed on. That was the kind of the main inspiration for the piece. And then this idea of kind of spikes and punky, the kind of like flaring of the music coming from the treble clef, so to speak, was why I then had these wires coming out at an angle, moving round, swirling round the treble clef, swirling around his ear.
The movement was great. Yeah.
And because, like you were saying, his favourite colour is red, I thought, well, okay, so let's move one way from red. So I don't want to move towards brown, so let's go back in the opposite direction. And so I went with the orange and the yellow, in that they are nicely related to red, and they work as a trio of colours around the whole piece. So there were the nine, so there are eight spikes, and the ninth spike was the one that went through his actual ear to hold the thing in place. And then again, because it was punky, I thought, let's really mess up the texture on the piece.
Uh-huh.
So lots of quite deep engraving in the silver, which did two things. Firstly, it gave me that finished texture, but secondly, it made the whole thing lighter because I did it on both sides. I used a ball burr to actually texture into it. So that took a lot of the weight out. Yeah.
Mine was the kind of flamey looking one.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
That had red tips
and
a couple of different smiley faces. So I made a separate study ring.
Yes.
Which I used the gold that we got given to make a little gold face.
Yep.
I made this kind of, it was like two, there was two layers to it. So one went sort of on the inside of the hearing aid and one sat on the outside of the hearing aid. But it came right round the ear. So it sat sort of like right at the front of the ear and then it curved right round and it came back up the earlobe. And it was finished with a little smiley face, kind of where your cheekbone kind of comes towards your ear.
Yeah, I remember.
And I kind of cut out these shapes. I rolled it down to make it thinner, to make it light enough. And then cut the shapes out and soldered it all together. It was quite a soldering, but it all went very well. Got it all together and then took a risk by twisting again to kind of give more movement and kind of make it just more me. And then I tipped all the ends of the twists. I was looking for a kind of flame kind of effect.
Yeah.
And then finished all the tips in the red dipping rubber, which if you use it, it's in that way where it covers quite a lot of surface area. It's got really quite good grab. So it's quite dramatic and the colour is ace. It does take a while to dry though. I was a little bit worried it wouldn't dry.
Hair dryer.
But it did. So I made that first and then while that was drying, I made my earring.
Yeah.
My matching earring. So that was how I kind of got around that. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great brief. It was lovely to make something that was different and again, a bigger scale. So it was great. Everyone came up with really lovely designs. Mm-hmm. It will be getting another earring. Very lovely comedian and author and all round very talented bird, Samantha Baines, is going to wear one of my ear cuffs to an event at the end of the month.
How fantastic. The
Women's Podcast Awards. So she is also deaf and she is also got a little penchant for red and I think it's going to look fabulous on
it
her.
Will.
So I'm really
I look
excited
forward to seeing photos
that
of that.
She's going to do that. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Do you think I can blag an invite?
I think you should.
So that's episode 4. So would you like to tell me who you're recommending on social?
I will. So I'm going with a chap from Vienna at the moment who is Thomas without an H. Miskovich, Miskovic, and his Instagram handle is unexpected.jewelry, which this time is spelled Jewelry, so the American spelling.
American way, yeah.
And he makes absolutely fabulous architectural rings. I love his work. He's currently exhibiting in the Romanian Jewelry Week, which has some stunning pieces in it as well from all sorts of different jewelry designer makers. So if you check out Romanian Jewelry Week, not only will you find his work, but you'll find work from lots of other people as well. But I don't know when I discovered his work, possibly back in January when I got kicked off Instagram and had to start again. I just came across it and his work defies gravity, I think, sometimes in the way it holds gems to get, in the metalwork or the different way that he puts metal together, and it's all hand constructed, it's not cast. So check out unexpected.jewelry, which is
I've never heard of that.
Miskovich. His work is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So who is your go-to this week?
Okay, so I am gonna point people at Samantha Baines.
Yep.
Who's going to be wearing my ear cuff.
Absolutely.
And, but her Instagram is lovely. I always follow her. She, I really like her introduction on Instagram as well. She says, "I dance in bright clothes, author, actress, deaf activist, and host of Divorce Pod." And she's terrific. I just think she's full of energy and life and she's very funny. And, we like a funny girl. Her podcast really good as well. And she's also written a children's book. Right then, love.
So are we going to, even though you gave a spoiler for it earlier, talk about technique of the week? Are we going to find something else? Is there going to be a different technique other than brooch pins?
I don't know. Why don't you do it then if it's brooch pins?
Yeah. So brooch pins. The interesting thing with brooch pins is they can be multiple, they can be single, and they can be made from a variety of different pieces of material. I know that if you're going to have your work sent off the assay office, don't put a steel brooch pin in it because you'll have to have it assayed as mixed metal. So put put one in it that is the same metal as the whole thing, or don't put a pin in it at all. And then you can put your steel in afterwards. And the ones that, as you said, that we were given to use in this challenge was a steel wire, dental wire. And it was absolutely brilliant to use. Admittedly, I had an oops moment when I was putting mine together, because it's even though it was what I think we had a variety of thicknesses, and I used something like 0.8 mil or 0.6 mil wire. On the back of my brooch, I had a frame in which I'd soldered some sort of a tube, and the wire was going to go through that because I had two pins that came down either side.
Yeah.
And I soldered it on, and I put the wire through it, and I bent the wire, and the solder was a dry joint.
And oh, damn it!
I know.
I thought it was only me.
No, it wasn't only you. This one, I don't know if it was filmed or not. I can't remember. But so I had to.
You tammy bugger.
Yeah, thankfully I only had one bend, so I could get the thing off. You know, didn't have to glue it in place or anything dastardly like that.
Oh, you could have cut it out.
Yeah, true. But so I managed to get that off, solder it back on again, and then put the wire in properly. But as you said earlier, the lovely thing about using steel on the brooch pin is that it has a real lovely kind of bendy quality to it, doesn't it?
I just think it's really, really hard. You know, the tension's just there. So, I've made pins in silver before, and it's quite difficult just to get them physically like hard enough. It's best if you start with a much thicker wire and draw it down, and so you've got as much tension. Remember the dental wire? It was just there.
Mm.
It was integral already in the material, so it was terrific. And you just have to be a bit clever about how you bend it so that you create that. That push in the opposite direction to the gap of your catch. So I thought it was great. It was terrific. And if I make another, I don't make brooches very often actually, but if I do, that is exactly the pin wire I will be using. I ain't using any silver wire for brooch pins again.
It's a good idea. I've been trying to get hold of some, but the supplier just don't seem to respond to my emails at the moment. So I'll have to try a bit harder.
Chase, I know, it's so difficult, isn't it, actually just sourcing stuff sometimes. That's such a tricky and time-consuming part of being a jeweler.
It certainly is. And if I find it, what I'll do is actually I'll put a link to the supplier on the notes that go with the show, so that if people are interested they can go and try and attempt to buy some themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. All right then, my love, well, I'm gonna get off. It's been lovely to chat to you
and with you
and again, and no doubt I will be speaking to you on Thursday as we rock and roll towards episode 5, semi-final.
Yeah. Madness.
I know. Gosh, I can't believe it, really. Fun though.
Indeed. All right. I will speak to you on.
All right, darling. Take care. Bye now.
You too. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and come back to us another couple of weeks for the next one. In the meantime, also thanks to Alfie Amadeus for the amazing track, Optopi, which does our theme music. See you soon. Bye-bye.